following is a message at Living Savior Church in Asheville and Hendersonville, North Carolina. To learn more, go to lsavior.org.
In Switzerland, right around midnight, you drop an ice cream cone on the floor and let it splatter as far as it goes. In Spain, you put 12 white grapes in a dish, and then when the city bell tower tolls, as each toll takes place, you eat one of the 12 grapes. In Denmark, you take some old plates to a friend's house. Standing outside your friend's door at the stroke of midnight, you smash the plates on the pavement in front of his house or even on his door. Everywhere in the world, it seems, there are New Year's Eve rituals that send away the bad vibes of the old year and that bring good luck and prosperity in the 12 months to come. Some of them, of course, very familiar to Americans. Fireworks and sparklers and champagne and the dropping of the ball in Times Square and the singing of Auld Lang Syne. How different it is in the church. You see, in the Christian church, we don't have strong traditions for what we should do on New Year's Eve because we follow a different sort of calendar. On Christmas Eve and then on December 25th, we celebrate the incarnation of our Lord. And we recognize that December 25th is the first of 12 days of Christmas. So each of those days is marked by the joyful recognition that God has sent His Son to purify our hearts from guilt, to change how we live, and even to impact what we talk about. Obviously, those who first observed the birth of Jesus did the same thing. The Bethlehem shepherds, no doubt for weeks after he was born, they praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen. A young man named Joseph and his wife Mary, as she nursed her firstborn son and perhaps as he looked for a better place to live, They treasured all these things that the shepherds had reported to them, including a message from angels. And then there's this man, Simeon, who weeks after the Christ was born, took him in his arms and praised God for the arrival of his salvation. There's this woman, Anna. She too realizes that the gift of this child, this long-awaited gift, is going to last and last and last. And as the Holy Spirit came to Anna and to Simeon and to Joseph and Mary and to those Bethlehem shepherds, He comes also to you and me with what I'll call the true Christmas spirit. The Spirit who is going to emphasize our thinking and our doing and our speaking, not only during these 12 days of the Christmas season, but for all eternity. Joseph and Mary, as we get introduced to them, were a devout and God-fearing Jewish couple. That's certainly how St. Luke describes them. On the eighth day of Jesus' life, they named him Jesus, but they also circumcised him. This was the sign of God's covenant of grace going back to Abraham and all his descendants after him. Then on the 40th day, the parents with the child walked the half dozen miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. When they got there, they presented an offering on Mary's behalf to doves or young pigeons. And they also presented their son as holy to the Lord and redeemed him from full-time temple service with another sort of offering. It's while they were doing that that an elderly believer approached them in the temple courtyard. I'm not talking about Simeon. Simeon is we're told, a man who's righteous and devout before God. Moved by the Spirit, he recognizes who Jesus is. He takes the child into his arms. He speaks about him. He thanks God for sending his salvation. He speaks of the pain that Mary someday will suffer because of her son, a pain borne out at the cross. But Simeon, though the Bible story books and the Sunday school materials often portray him as old and gray, isn't necessarily so. We're not told that. You want old? There's Anna. Yep, Anna, who's introduced as well advanced in years, stooped over and walking kind of slowly, perhaps. A little bit hard of hearing, possibly. Frail, arthritic. We're told she's 84 years old at a time when very few people lived to that age. 84 years old when medical advances had not made life perhaps a little easier for a person at such an age. And yet none of us feels sorry for aged Anna. In fact, we recognize that this woman is very sharp, very alert, very tuned in to what's really important. Anna, you might say, is blessed with the true Christmas spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and makes that very evident by everything she says. Anna, after all, has been waiting for this child who is the hope of Israel and the hope of all God's people. She knows that this Christ who is to come will battle on behalf of his people and defeat our oppressors, our guilt, our sin, the threat of death, the lies of the devil. She knows that the Christ will bring peace with a holy God, peace for sinners such as you and me. And her response is to devote every day of her life, day after day, year after year, to serving the Lord in his temple. She wants to be there. She wants to be at the temple to watch the sacrifices there as they're being brought forth, sacrifices that will represent the great sacrifice that her Messiah will bring. She wants to smell the incense that go along with the prayers of the priests and even her own prayers as they go up before God. She wants to be present when the priest steps out of the temple and sends people to their homes with a benediction, with a word of blessing in the name of the triune God. But she doesn't go home because she just wants to be there at this place. She wants to welcome those that come to worship the Lord. She wants to encourage them with his word. Nobody forces Anna to do that. She's not compelled by some rule book or by feelings of guilt. She's moved by the Holy Spirit to do this, just as Simeon was moved by the Spirit. She's been blessed with what you and I could rightly call the true Christmas spirit. May God be gracious to you and bless you and give you the same Holy Spirit. This time of the year, the Holy Spirit has begun his work among us with the most marvelous news ever. The Word made flesh, God's own Son given to us. God incarnate to live a holy life in our place, to go to a cross and offer up his body and his blood for the forgiveness of all our sins, and then physically, bodily, to rise, to conquer death. The true Christmas spirit is that mighty wind that brings this truth into our hearts and establishes it firm in our minds. The true Christmas spirit is then the one who is a mighty wind that blows each day to compel us to live for our Savior. So the Holy Spirit will bring you to God's house for worship gladly and frequently, as often as you're able. The Spirit will move you to love to listen to the reading of God's Word and to pay attention to the preaching of the Word and to be amazed at the Son of God's sacrifice for you. The true Christmas Spirit will move you to prayers of repentance, where you can acknowledge all your sins, all your guilt, even those that you cannot remember, and recognize that every single one of them has been taken away by the sacrifice of the Christ. The Spirit will lead you to realize to love the one who loved you first, and to realize that love is the most excellent way to live. He'll compel you to welcome others to know the Lord and to encourage them in his word. He'll convince you that on the days when you cannot be in God's house, your Lord is still with you, and his house is wherever you are. To listen to his word, to contemplate his promises, to sing his praises. The true Christmas spirit compels a way of life, a lifestyle that's genuinely in Christ. And that's not limited to any particular days on a calendar. St. Luke says that Anna came right up to Joseph and Mary and recognized the 40-day-old baby. By the power of the Spirit, she knew who Jesus was. After all those years, here he was. So the true Christmas spirit compelled her to talk about him. First, we're told she gave thanks to God. You can imagine what that thanks would be, her heart overflowing with gratitude that she can actually see the one who has been promised for hundreds and hundreds of years, that while she doesn't necessarily take him in her arms like Simeon did, she could place her hands on him and feel blessed by his presence. She thanks the Lord that he's fulfilled promises that he's repeated for thousands of years. And then she turns to the people in the courtyard that day of the temple. These are her friends. These are acquaintances that she's seen coming to various festivals over the years. These are the people that know her and she knows them. She cares very deeply about them. So she talks about who this child is. Here's the Redeemer, she says, the one who's come to set us free. Here's the Redeemer, she says, the one who's going to pay the price of his own blood that we might have eternal life in his name. Here's the Redeemer, she says, whom you've been hearing about in the synagogue, whom you've been reading about in the scriptures, who by the Holy Spirit has become flesh with this woman, Mary, here. She has to talk about the child. She just has to. She can't help herself. And whether they are excited by what she says or offended by it, whether they believe her words or not, the words of Christ dwell in her mouth, come out of in her words, because she's been blessed with the Holy Spirit, the true Christmas spirit. 60 years later, the Apostle Paul urges all believers to do this, to give a powerful message, not only by how they act, by how you and I act, but also by what we say. Colossians chapter 3, our other scripture reading today, worth hearing again. St. Paul's words, the Apostle of Jesus' words, to you and to me. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against anyone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's confidence, isn't it? The Apostle Paul is confident that the Holy Spirit will produce results. Scripture calls them elsewhere fruits in how we live and in how we treat people, and also in the message that we proclaim. So, dear brother, dear sister, keep filling yourself with the word of Christ. Keep coming forward to taste the sacrament of himself given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Like aged Anna, keep recognizing your redemption and finding joy in your Redeemer made flesh. And then, as you live for the Lord, speak of him. Look for ways to talk about him to all those who are around you. Do so by the Holy Spirit, the true Christmas Spirit, to the glory of God.